4 surgeries before I'm ready to have a kid, and then...
Hold that thought.
Well, I want to make sure I was correct before I said something, and then you're like, you're wrong, Heather, and I'm like, what?
But even still, that's still valuable, right? It's still valuable to know if you have an assumption that's wrong, just like sometimes I have assumptions that are wrong. Welcome to the Fertility Answers Podcast. I'm Neil Chappell. We are recording another episode with communication between patients and physicians to try and figure out the best way to make your decision about whatever fork in the road that you're on. Today, we have Heather here with us, and Heather had a very interesting course, though not unique by any stretch. These are, again, we're trying to tackle kind of common forks in the road. Heather had innumerable fibroids that were preventing her from being able to have an egg and a sperm meet up and an embryo find a hospitable place to land and grow. Without going into too much meandering like I am prone to do, let's just start from the beginning and hear a little bit about your interpretation of how that news, how did you come to find that you had fibroids, and what did you initially think and what did you initially do?
I found out I had fibroids 3 years ago, I want to say. My doctor had done an ultrasound because I was having pain. And then I noticed, she said I had several pretty large fibroids. So I was like, okay. And so we monitor them every 6 months, I want to say. She kind of just kept an eye on them. About a year and a half ago, I met with a fertility doctor because they had gotten bigger. And he had brought up doing the surgery and removing them. But then I had done, as being a nurse, I had done my research. And I knew that the more surgeries you have, that scar tissue can build up. So I was like, I'm not ready to have kids right now, maybe in a year or so. I kind of just put it on the back burner, and I still had issues, but I was on birth control at the time. So I felt like they were kind of controlled, like it wasn't as aggravating. But then I got engaged in November last year, and I got off my birth control, and then I noticed that like my stomach was really protruding, and then I was having a lot of pain, and then I was having some bleeding, some not, every month. So then that's when I decided to come find Dr. Chappell.
Well, we were glad you did. And so one of the things that you had done before coming to see me was you had an MRI done. A lot of folks have MRIs to evaluate fibroids. It's really a great test as far as where they are, how many there are, how big they are. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can even tell the difference between fibroids and other problems like adenomyosis, which is a different diagnosis for a different day. But in your case, the MRI did show dozens of mm-hmm. fibroids of variable sizes in variable spots. The decision as to whether or not surgery made sense was pretty easy for you because A, you had symptoms, and B, there were quite a few.
Yeah.
The research in the realm of fibroids is still a little bit murky, surprisingly, for how common fibroids are. Just as an aside, about 70% of women have at least a fibroid or two that can be noted in the uterus, and that's obviously a pretty high number. But despite the fact that they're very, very common, we really don't have a good grasp on when they should come out or when they should stay in and when they don't matter, especially in regards to fertility. The studies aren't that clear on fibroid X needs to come out, fibroid Y can stay, with several exceptions. One is symptoms. So, yep, you had symptoms, you probably needed that removed, if only for quality of life. And symptoms severe enough, like you had with, like you said, belly protruding and bleeding, etc., make it pretty clear, hey, we can make your quality of life better, but if it's affecting all these other things, it's likely affecting the ability for an embryo to implant.
Yeah.
Or even for the sperm to even make it down the tube to find an egg.
Yeah.
So that was pretty clear. The other point I want to touch on that you mentioned is timing is everything. And so I think that's a pretty important realization that you had.
Yeah,
that
definitely.
I don't necessarily want to go about a surgery right now if I'm not thinking about trying to get pregnant in the near future because I'm worried about scar tissue.
Yeah.
I think that is a really important point to highlight because it's for two reasons. It is scar tissue because if you have an operation and then you require a subsequent operation, then you're that much more at risk for scar tissue formation. Absolutely. Because with each surgery, scar tissue becomes more and more likely.
Mm-hmm.
And that affects allowing the anatomy to lay how it normally should.
Yeah.
If you've got a scar that's going across one of the fallopian tubes or even inside the uterus, that's obviously going to affect the ability for things to function as they should. The foundation of that concern, though, is really recurrence of fibroids. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big concern, is that, okay, we took out the fibroids that we could see, that we could feel, that we knew were there, and that's another reason the MRI is helpful. You don't miss any.
Yeah.
But inevitably, folks that have a bunch of fibroids are at risk for having a bunch of fibroids grow back. So great, you have your surgery at 23, you feel wonderful, 27, you decide to start building your family, and we're right back to square one.
Exactly.
And then having to have another surgery and another scar tissue and formation, et cetera, just all of that does impact your fertility. So I think you made the right decision in waiting at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the decision to have surgery was pretty clear for you. It's not clear for everybody, so yeah. That is absolutely, so if you have fibroids and you're wondering about whether they do or don't need to come out, a couple of simple guidelines. Size is important. 4 centimeters may be a magic number, but that depends on location. If it's inside the cavity, it's more clear that probably needs to go because it's obviously impacting where the embryo likes to nestle down. If it's hanging out on the very outside of the uterus, then, I mean, to me, that's a completely different zip code than where the embryo wants to go, and so that's less of a problem. But those decisions are individualized based on the patient. In your case, Heather, we had to get out a calculator to figure out how many fibroids we needed to get out, so that was more clear. I'm actually most interested in talking to you today about the fork in the road that you guys had to face of, okay, fibroids are out, uterus is good, okay, now what? Because some folks would say, because of my risk of recurrence, I want to get pregnant as fast as possible.
Yeah, that's me.
Right. It was you. We talked about that. The fork that I'm interested in talking about is, how do you want to get pregnant? In other words, folks would say, okay, that was clearly my problem. I don't think I have any other problems. The rest of my testing that I did, my initial testing with my initial consult was all normal.
Mm-hmm.
Should I just try on my own? And if so, for how long? Or should I really put my best intentions forward and look at some fertility treatments like either inseminations or even something, you know, as big as IVF.
Yeah.
And for you, I think that was a little bit of a push and a give and take that we had to have as you kind of went through your presentation, because you guys were eager to get pregnant because of your life schedule,
yeah,
right? Because that's always something to think about, but also because of just your eagerness to avoid the risk of having to have a second surgery.
Yeah.
So I guess I'd like to hear your general thoughts on how you came to the decision that you did as to what to try next once the uterus was devoid of the fibroids and cleared and ready for action.
Yeah. Well, we, like, with my husband's job, he kind of has a different job, so it's best for us to have a kid before August. And so, like, I already felt the pressure, like, okay, that's creeping in. And then with the surgery, I was like, I'm young, he's young. I feel like, I mean, my follicles, I had good follicles, and I woke up enough eggs. I'm like, if this is going to happen, it's going to happen within 3 months of starting to try to have kids and after the surgery. So
what are you basing that on?
Myself. Like, okay. I'm thinking in my own time. I'm thinking in my own head, like, I'm young, I'm going to get pregnant right away.
Within 3 months?
Yes.
Okay.
And
so
then we
where'd
talked.
Where'd you get the 3 month mark? I'm curious.
I don't know.
Okay.
I just kind of just was like, within 3 months.
Three months felt right.
Yeah. It just felt good to me. And like with research, I'm like, I feel like you and I, when we talked, we said, usually if you're trying to get pregnant naturally, within 3 months is kind of the typical window you see of, yeah, it's going to happen, 3 to 4 months, it's going to, let's see. And then if it's not happening, then let's see what's not working.
So, you know? I would say from a research kind of physician standpoint, it's three to six.
Yeah.
Most folks will get pregnant within six, and 85% of couples will get pregnant within 12.
Okay.
But most within six. So the 6 to 12 mark, that's kind of a longer waiting period.
Yeah.
3 to 6 is reasonable.
Yeah, and I'm just like, go
you
to
were,
the point. I'm
you
to
were
the
like,
point.
Let's try for 3 weeks.
Yeah, and you were like, So he was like, oh, well, November is a good mark. And I was like, no, October. But we kind of met at November. And so I was like, we're going to try from July to November. And if I'm not pregnant by November, then I'm going to fly back in town and we'll talk about IVF. Like, I'm always open to any medicine and any knowledge that I can get. But I kind of had that date of November. If I'm not pregnant, I'm coming to you and we're going to figure this out. We're going to do IVF.
And that was based on your feeling of how you wanted these to
go. I understood with my body that these fibroids are going to grow back eventually. I don't know how quick they're going to grow back, but I am not dumb. Like, I know they're going to grow back.
Okay.
So I would rather, while they're out, like, my chances of getting pregnant are really high. And, like, right after surgery, I feel like, I mean, my uterus is still healing, but while it's healing, I want to be trying at that time. And if it's not, like, why wait past November? Why wait into February? Like, they're still going to grow back eventually, so why take the chance of it growing back, me having five in February, and then my chances are already decreasing? Like, I'd rather just get it over with and start IVF.
And, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today is I don't really feel like there's a perfectly right answer. I think it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
That's a fine answer. Some people really want to go straight into something like inseminations. You guys were pretty eager to go straight into IVF because there's reasons for that too. So there's not a wrong answer. So I think it's helpful to think about that.
Just giving yourself a healthy window, though, not being like, let's wait a year. Like, I feel like that's just not me. Like,
not you. But yeah, that's not inappropriate.
But that's not, yeah, like, that's your own decision. Like, yeah, that's why it's okay for everyone else to make their own decision. But me being a nurse, like, I know that things could grow back and that could be really quick. And why gamble?
Yeah.
Why take that chance when I need children? So okay. I just would rather kind of hit the ground running.
Okay, that's perfect. So November came along and I got a phone call.
I was actually calling to, I was going to call the week that I found out I was pregnant. I was calling to schedule my appointment to come in here to start talking about IVF.
Oh,
it was
really?
Actually my, I was like, I'm going to call Dr. Chapel Tuesday, and then I found out Monday.
Yeah, so
I was pregnant.
Yeah, spoiler alert, 8 weeks along now.
Yes.
And so it's November and 8 weeks along. And I think, you know, that's really, to me, one of the hardest things in medicine is to say, I'm not going to do anything. And I have a couple other people that I do want to talk about or talk to down the road in a subsequent episode about the difficulty in not doing anything with different diagnoses. Because some diagnoses, the answer really is, I'm not going to do anything. And that's not an easy thing to hear, but sometimes it's the right thing. Because if, you know, if we were to do something like IVF and then you get pregnant on your own, I'm not necessarily always thrilled by that, right? Because you hit your goals without having to go through a medical procedure. And I think that, you know, that's a win. I always tell patients, I really don't care how you get pregnant as long as you do,
yeah,
right? And so that was a nice, I don't want to say pleasant surprise, but I was glad that it worked out that way.
Me too.
So looking back over the past year, what have you taken away from this experience that has maybe shaped what you've thought about? Because you were going forward prospectively thinking about this. I did my research for, you know, 3 or 4 months makes sense. November is my day or whatever. Yes, I need the surgery. I'm going to try not to need any more. Now that we're where we are, what's the big takeaway for you? What was the big point that helped you make the decisions that you made?
Well, just wanting a child. Like, I just feel like, I trusted you as my doctor and your knowledge and your background, and I knew I didn't have much time, so I felt like figuring out my circumstances and learning all about my body and saying, okay, my husband has this different job where he might not be at the delivery of our kid. Like, he has no control over his work schedule, and I do now have control over my work schedule, but it was just like we didn't have time to mess around. So I feel like it was the no time kind of thing where I was like, felt like, okay, you know what? We have 3 months, 4 months to try on our own, and then let's start IVF. Like, no matter what, we want kids. But
so you felt like the biggest factor in your determination of your decisions was really
time.
Life, like yeah. your schedule. Your schedule yeah. kind of dictated what you could and couldn't do.
Yes, very much
if,
so.
If your schedule wasn't that way, do you think you still would have made the same choices?
I feel like I wouldn't have been as aggressive.
Okay.
But I still would have been like, okay, if we're not pregnant by January, like I feel like I would have gave myself a little bit more breathing room.
Okay.
But with our schedules, I mean, half the time I don't even see him. So it's
enough.
A little bit harder to get pregnant on our own. So I knew IVF would be a very reliable way to get pregnant.
So, and for the record, you can always freeze sperm and do IUIs,
yes.
even if the partner is traveling.
Yes.
So that is another consideration and a part of the talk that we may have had
yeah.
if you had called me in November and not hit your mark.
Yeah.
So, because IUI and IVF are both options, particularly for folks that haven't really, you know, tested the system yet.
Yeah.
Because one thing to highlight that I always point out to folks is when they say, you know, they say something like to the point of, I'm not infertile, I just had fibroids, or I'm not infertile, I'm just in a same-sex couple, or
yeah.
I'm not infertile, my husband just works in Canada, or,
yeah.
or whatever. The answer is always, I don't know that that's true.
Yeah.
You know, you have this testing that is normal, but at the same time, 15% of couples are subfertile,
mm-hmm.
and part of that discovery you have along the way of a fertility workup.
Yeah.
And so, you never know if you get rid of fibroids, do you find another problem behind that? So
yeah.
that's always an important thing to think about, and why every case is individualized. But certainly your experience has been fun helping along
yeah.
the way. And I definitely wish you the best.
Thank you.
To ask you one more question
yes.
that I think is going to be an ongoing theme. But you said several times the data and the stuff that you looked up. So where
yeah.
did you go to look things up? Because this is, I think this is going to be a thing. Because I asked the last person. I was like, okay, that's so fascinating.
No.
So where did you go to do your research?
Google.
Okay. Yeah.
But like, obviously, I'm a nurse, so like,
uh-huh.
I was looking up scholarly articles.
Got it. Okay.
Other things besides like Wikipedia.
Okay.
But I was just doing all kinds of research. I was watching videos on how they do the robotic removal of
yeah.
fibroids versus going in and, you know, cutting me open. So
yep.
I was kind of hoping to do the robotic. But then obviously once I realized how big mine were and how many I had, that was not even remotely realistic.
I don't think we're going to tackle the robotics versus laparoscopics versus
I know,
versus
but,
that's,
but I just figured out that whenever I was reading the research articles and everything like that, obviously I wasn't going to Wikipedia, don't worry.
Okay.
But
no, I'm fine if that's the answer.
That wasn't.
So part of one of the things I want to do here is understand why there is occasionally a dissynchrony in the messaging. So
mm-hmm.
I sit and talk to somebody and then I walk away and I think I said this, but
mm-hmm.
what they actually heard was that. Or someone tells me something and I think I hear what they're trying
yeah.
to get at. You know, I think I understand their goals, their motivations, and their desires so that I can try and meet those expectations.
Yeah.
But in reality, I totally missed the boat.
Yeah.
And so this whole endeavor, this whole exercise, this little passion project is really just about understanding where people are coming from
yeah.
on both sides. Because some people, and I said this in the last time, they come with the craziest stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where did you find
Google.
That? Yeah. Well, it's a powerful tool.
It is. But then you're like convinced you have like cancer and you don't. Like you're just like.
Correct.
You're just like have a stomach, like a gas bubble. Like, you know what I'm
Who
saying?
Knows?
Like,
who knows?
That's just how Google works.
Okay. But I think I'm going to ask everybody. That might be one of my closers. Is like, okay, where did you do your research? And then just be like, okay, that's a fun little ditty. All right. Anything else I've left out? What else is important to you? Or did I cover what we were trying to cover today?
No, I think we covered everything.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining.
Yes.
Thanks for coming along and putting up with me for another 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time, and I definitely wish you the best.
Yeah, thank you for saving my uterus.